measurement. For instance, if you're selecting staff, what you can do is to build into the assessment centre case studies which have a business element but also have a strong intercultural component. And then you have maybe an intercultural advisor who's observing the performance in a role play to see how the candidate performs. And this can work in a development centre for people who are going on to take on much higher management responsibility. But I think we've still got a lot to do, in fact, in developing reliable tools for measuring any form of training. And, of course, intercultural training is no exception.
What do you see as the main trends in intercultural training?
I think the big trend is to move away from just talking about training and talking about isolated seminars or workshops. I think the big trend is really to integrate intercultural training into other forms of training. For instance, when you're training managers and they're developing leadership skills, then it's very, very important to bring this intercultural component into that training. This is also partly because, of course, people are under time pressure and have less time for training than they might have had in the past. And I like to talk about the move from training to solutions for internationalization. To me, that means not just training individuals in a workshop for an assignment abroad, but training teams, training project groups, giving people consultancy services and supporting them throughout their work, not just on a one-off basis. The other big trend, which probably is affecting all of the training areas, is to look at ways that we can use the internet and web-based support and these new media to help us with training. I think in the intercultural area, it's important to know what you can do by web-based training and what is actually not possible to do with this media. And I think web-based training is very useful for providing information which is continually updatable. I think that's the role it can play. In a face-to-face training session, you don't need to spend so much time on dealing with that information part, and you can concentrate then on the behavioral aspects.
Yes, those are certainly important things to consider. We'll move on now to talking about cultural interactions more specifically. To do this, we'll look at some individual countries with the help of our studio guests.
Thank you, Erica. The first country we'd like to talk about today is China. Trade between Europe and China has increased dramatically in recent years, but this has not necessarily led to better understanding. Here with me now is Theresia Tauber, an expert on China. Theresia, let's start with the language. You learnt Chinese for your job. How difficult is it to learn Chinese?
Well, that depends not so much on how much time you put into the language learning, but how intensely you do so. You see, if you do 2 weeks of total immersion, you have a good chance that you can go to China, order a beer, and say hello to your friends. If you learn Chinese for 6 years, 1 hour a day or 1 hour a week, you have no chance at all. And then, of course, this only refers to learning the language, not learning to read and write.
Could you think of just one phrase that would be especially useful for a business person to learn?
My favorite would be "没有问题." "没有问题" means no problem, and that's very useful. You know, you're traveling to China, you're in a hotel, there's hassle with your baggage, or in your company something goes wrong, and then people feel very awkward and uncomfortable. And then if you then say "没有问题," no problem, they're very relaxed and they're happy, and they don't see you as this very stern foreigner anymore.
So that would be some way of creating some harmony in the conversation.
Yes, that would be showing goodwill and that you're a relaxed person.
You've been traveling to China regularly over the last 20 years. In that time, China has really changed a lot. What changes have you personally experienced?
Well, first of all, I think someone who has not traveled to China during the last 20 years cannot imagine just how massive the changes were. Let me give you two concrete examples. Your business partners, where did they live 20 years ago? They lived in state-owned flats that were provided by their employer. And those flats were like 15 to 20 square meters for father, mother, and child. Today, they have their own flats, your business partners at least, and they have 100 square meters for the family. So that gives them a totally new outlook on life, totally new self-confidence, and they also react to you in a different way.